Hey guys, welcome back to That Canadian Podcast. I'm your host and that Canadian, Sam. Before I even get into today's episode, I'm just going to issue a warning because it is pretty fucked up, and if any of the content in this episode triggers you, I want to avoid it at all costs. Warning, today's episode contains graphic descriptions of torture, violence against a minor, adult dialogue, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised. Today's story, or episode, whatever you want to call it, is going to be sharing the story of a little girl named Callie and how we need to demand justice for this poor 10-year-old little girl. Her story is disturbing, it's sad, it's disgusting, it's so many things that are unfortunately not good things. And it all started for me personally with watching a TikTok. Now, I was originally going to include the TikTok in this portion of the episode, just so you can get like the gist of what's going on. But then I came across the original Facebook post that Callie's mom made, and she posted it on July 22nd of this year. And so I'm just going to go ahead and read it verbatim, just so that way I can paint you a picture of what we're looking at here. Brittany's mom wrote, "On Monday, July 19th, 2021, at approximately 12:27 p.m., I opened the door to my worst nightmare. My 10-year-old daughter, Callie, was covered in blood and severely beaten. I called 911 as soon as I saw her, and my world completely shattered within seconds. Those whole 11 minutes that it took for the officers to arrive, I felt a feeling that no mother should ever experience. That morning, Callie's so-called friends knocked on our door and asked if she could come play. This was something that they did every single day for the past 6 months. We are also their neighbors. As soon as she had walked in their apartment, she realized that something was wrong. From 7:30 a.m. until 12:27 p.m., my daughter was held hostage in their pantry, dragged to multiple rooms, and beaten. She had been struck all over her face, head, body, by their fists and multiple objects by multiple teenagers. Callie was sprayed with bleach and humiliated. The acts were all recorded by their mother, who did nothing to stop it. Multiple videos of the assault were shared to social media, such as Snapchat and TikTok. They made Callie clean up her own blood afterwards and taunt her about bleeding on them. Many other details and physical evidence was collected by officers on video and in pictures. What happened was traumatizing. No arrests have been made. The officers were called out 4 times that evening involving this family. They even had an officer sit most of the night outside the apartments. No arrests were or have been made regarding the incident. We've hardly slept since then, worrying because these evil people, our neighbors, her abusers, are just going out about life like nothing happened. The following day, a child from that home was removed by DCS and the apartment managers had served them eviction notices. But no arrests have been made in the cruel acts that happened to my child. On day 3, I called and came down to speak with the investigators who are on the case. An understandable emergency came up for the main investigator, who is apparently holding the entire police report. The investigator will not return to work until next week. Callie has yet to be able to make a statement about the horrendous acts committed on her. After begging for an interview, I got one bumped up from next Monday, which would have been 7 days after the incident, to this Friday. Callie is 10. Why has she not been questioned about the details right away? Not that she needs to, there's literally so much evidence. Why does she have to live in fear while her captors and torturers live next door and can move about as they please like nothing happened? Where is the justice for Callie? Now, in addition to posting the story, Brittany also accompanied the post with pictures of poor little Callie, and they're very sad. She's got blood on her. She's wearing a little Rugrats shirt, and it's covered in blood, and she's got scratches all over and a swollen. It's really sad. I can link to Brittany's original Facebook post So you can see the pictures there, but I don't want to personally post them just because of the intensity of the pictures, and they're not really my pictures to post, especially in a case like this. I wouldn't be comfortable posting them. In the post Brittany made explaining what happened, she talked about how the mother of those two girls was recording the video and did nothing to stop it. This woman's name is Teresa Delgado, and she's the mother of one of the girls and the stepmother to the other girl. So there's a, the father is the father to both girls. And apparently there was a third girl there who they didn't like the girls hanging out with because she had a, well, I'm not comfortable saying the phrase, but she had a reputation amongst the parents in the neighborhood. And a little later, I'll talk about where you can hear that phrase that they use to describe this girl. So back to Teresa Delgado. Allegedly, she recorded the video, did nothing to stop it. But people are also saying that she was sleeping in another room and had no idea what was going on. I personally wasn't able to find anything that says or confirms that she was recording it, and obviously it's not something that she's going to announce. Now, I did go to her Facebook page to look at some things to see if I can find anything, really, and she obviously turned her account to private because this case is blowing up, and I'm sure she's getting a lot of hate for this. During my research, I came across an interview on YouTube with Molly Golightly, and I'll link the interview on my website. But the interview was with her and an anonymous woman. And this woman said that she actually saw some of the torture videos that were put on TikTok. And it was a long interview. I think it was about a half hour or 45 minutes or something like that. So to summarize, the woman said that in the video, Callie was just standing there. And she, I don't know, from what the lady said, it sounded like Callie was just in shock and that she was unable to move, that she was just stuck where she was. And at one point, one of the girls was telling her to say racial slurs, and at first Callie wasn't doing it, but then I guess the thought crossed her mind that, okay, well, if I do it, then maybe they'll leave me alone. And so she said it, and after she said it, they continued to attack her and beat her, and they sprayed her in the face with bleach. Just vicious, cruel attacks and torture to this poor girl. Honestly, I think that some of the shock that Callie was experiencing wasn't just the shock of the pain on the body, but also the shock that her friends could do this. I mean, multiple people in this case or whatever have said that the girls were best friends, apparently. So Callie was probably, and understandably, in shock. Like, how could her friends do this to her? The woman, the anonymous woman in the interview, even said that when Callie was just standing there, at one point, one of the attackers grabbed Callie, I would assume by the hair or head, and started pounding her face into their knee. It's just crazy. I believe now that at this point the videos have been taken down, or I hope that they have at least, but I don't even intend to look for them. Like, that's just something that I don't need to see. If it's still up, I'd be really surprised, but it's honestly something I don't think anybody needs to see except for the people who are going to be involved in the legal process of this case. At this point, I wanted to know, and I'm sure you are too, what drove the girls to do this? What made them attack their best friend the way that they did? There was another interview I came across by Molly Golightly, and in that interview, she was talking to the father of the two girls, the attackers, and he said that he had no idea why they would do it because they would go to the lake and swim together all the time during the summer. They were best friends, and he didn't understand why. The rumor was going around that Callie called them the N-word because she was 10 and they were best friends. She wouldn't say that about her best friends. So after all this went down, we know that the girls weren't arrested right away. So he took one of them out for a drive and to talk and really work through what happened with her. And he said that when he asked her why she did this, she just said that, you know, Callie hit her sister and she wanted to get back at her. Now he kind of deviates from this story a little bit and says that it is true that Callie did hit her because they were all in summer school together and Callie actually got kicked out because she hit one of the girls. when the interviewer asked how he knows that that's actually what happened, how he knows for sure that Callie was kicked out, he said that because he's the father of the girl who got hit, he got told everything that happened. So, I mean, I'm assuming that's true. I don't know, but at least I refuse to believe that she would call her friends the N-word. Then when he started to get back to the part of the conversation about why she did it, he said his daughter also was saying that Callie called them the N-word, and that's the reason why she did it. So I guess she gave him a couple different reasons. Maybe she was grasping at straws. I don't know. But like I said, the father doesn't even believe that's why they did it, because they were best friends. He just couldn't see Callie saying those things about his daughters because of how good friends they were. Molly also asked him about what he thinks in terms of what the girls are doing, because I guess at this point an arrest had been made. It was the girl whose name starts with a G. I'm not going to say her name because she doesn't deserve any recognition unless we're talking about her sentencing and her punishment for committing these acts. But when asked about what he thought about what was going on with her and how, I guess she was sent to juvenile detention until a case goes through or legal process takes over, I don't know. But she's in juvenile detention, and Mark, her father, was asked by Molly what he thought of it. And he said that she's exactly where she needs to be, that that is no way to conduct any interaction with anyone. You don't treat anyone like that. It's obviously the wrong thing to do. So at least the dad isn't supporting what his daughter did. We see in so many true crime cases that the parents are ride or die for their kid. And I mean, I get it, that's your baby, you love them, but when there's evidence, especially in this case, video evidence of the crime being committed, so many parents are like, that's not my baby. My baby wouldn't do that. My baby's perfect. They're not guilty. Like, they cannot see the truth. And it's just hardcore, straight up denial. But at least in Mark's position, he's acknowledging that what they did was wrong and they are where they deserve to be. Now, going back to Teresa, earlier when I talked about looking on her Facebook page, I did this because I saw a screenshot of a post she made and I was wondering if it was still up and if I could find it and read the comments, just to get a little peek inside of what she's commenting back to people and that kind of thing. Anyway, as I said, her Facebook is now private. There's hardly anything showing, but I do have the screenshot, so I'm going to read it to you word for word. I'm swallowing my pride, but I am in need of financial help due to the false allegations being said about me. I cannot work right now, and I need help paying for legal representation, moving, etc. My Cash App is... I'm not going to share it. She doesn't deserve any of your money. Thank you all in advance. I need lots of prayers and support. I don't know if she filmed it. I don't know if she filmed it and didn't stop anything. Obviously, she didn't stop anything if she filmed it, but I don't know if she filmed it. I don't know if she didn't and she was sleeping in another room. I don't know if she was in the same room not filming it and that the two attackers were just taking turns filming. But personal opinion aside, I couldn't find anything indicating that she had been arrested or if there's any possible charges. But what I was able to find is that both of the attackers, the two minors, were removed from the home by the Department of Children's Services, and that they have both been arrested and they're being charged with aggravated assault and kidnapping. Personally, I think it should be a little more harsh than that, but we'll see how everything goes. And because of everything that's happened, obviously Brittany has been missing some work so she could be with her daughter and deal with the whole mess of everything that comes after an attack like this. So she's missing out on wages, she has medical bills for Callie, obviously legal fees that need to be covered. So a GoFundMe has actually been started for Callie and her family, and I will be sharing that link on my website. And even if you can donate a couple dollars towards the family, and it might just be the $2 that makes a difference. So make sure you head on over to the website, click on the GoFundMe, and it'll bring you right to the donation page. Now, obviously, this case is still changing. There's still things in motion. We don't know what the actual trial will look like. So be on the lookout for that and updates. I may do another episode once everything's come to a close, just to keep you updated, to keep myself updated too. But That's really it for today, though. So thank you so much for stopping in today. I really appreciate you supporting me by listening in and going to my Instagram and following and interacting and commenting on my website, whatever. I appreciate you. And thank you so much. This has been That Canadian Podcast. I am That Canadian. And stay safe out there.